heard yesterday about our 10 position vacancies. I want to report one new hire. That's Jeff Brooks. He's an engineering geologist. He'll be in our North Basin unit working for Alan Miller. And he will be replacing Bud, and he comes from Region 4. So he'll bring some new perspective, and so we're looking forward to Jeff starting soon. And Patrice Copeland, you can't see on the screen, but we're all very thrilled to have her as our new division manager, and very integral part of our team. Brianna St. Pierre. We can't see Patrice. Let's see, where's Patrice? There's Patrice.
Yay.
Congratulations, Patrice. Brandon St. Pierre, an engineering geologist, is leaving us for promotion at the state board to head up the land disposal unit. It's always a double-edged sword as a manager. You want to highlight your best staff, but when doing that, sometimes they get hired by someone else because they notice how wonderful they are. But the success of a management, I've always believed, is having your best and brightest stolen from you because you've done your job to promote them for their career. So good luck, Brianna, on your promotion. I just want to highlight one position, because yesterday in the Partisan Accomplished This, I told you about there are opportunities sometimes in hiring positions. When you have a new position, you have an opportunity to kind of rejigger its roles a little bit sometimes within the classification. So I want to highlight one, and that's our senior environmental scientist slot. This is a slot that Tom Sook held and did a great job in that for many, many years. The closing date, I believe, is this week
today.
Oh, today was the closing date for See Who Threw Their Hat in the Ring for that wonderful slot. But that's a senior level slot, similar to Bob Larson's level, and Doug Carey's, and Chris Stetler's, and Lisa Dernbeck's another one, where we really want them to maybe do something a little differently. We want them to do the high level slump scientific work that we need in the investigations. But we want them also to do some climate change work. We've never had a position dedicated to that, so that will help the organization overall. We want them to do some regional monitoring, which again is something you heard that we do in Lake Tahoe, but I'd like to spread throughout our region. Region 9 does this very successfully, and Region 4 does, and they have found partnerships, and you're hearing a little bit from Bridgeport, you know, where you have partnerships with people on monitoring, you all benefit from it, and you all save money and have more efficiency. So I'm hoping this position will be able to expand our reach in that area, including citizen monitoring. So I just want to highlight that one slot. We all have great hopes for that person. Another update I want to give you is the federal permit, which is in your packet on bait stamp 11-42. You'll get a full presentation on the proposed federal general order that we're going to bring to the board for an informational update in May. It's a partnership we have with Region 5. Region 5 has given a similar presentation to their board, and the board has received it well. The meeting that's written up in your packet is the executive meeting. This is where we brought the leadership of the U.S. Forest Service, BLM, to the table, along with myself and Pamela Creedon from Region 5 and our talented staff to kind of, you know, get some buy-in on this. And there is good buy-in from them, but it'll be successful. We have to really be lockstep with our federal partners as we move forward in implementation. So there was a good commitment from the leadership group to have regular meetings and keep the ball moving forward on this effort, which is a 3-year effort. But again, I won't steal the thunder of our staff. You'll hear all about it in May. Another one I want to point out is George Air Force Base. We always assume all the problems at military bases are big, but sometimes they're small. That's a write-up on a rod on a small landfill of construction debris. In the priors and accomplishments, we had 576 sites we deal with in the DOD, and so there's one down. George Air Force Base also, we're having some issues with on the bigger pieces, as you know. So an article was written recently that I provided to the board on an investigative reporter. I'm told it's going to hit Newsweek this week. So, and we come out looking like the good guy because we are the ones that are pushing back and trying to, and again, that's the M&A report this board adopted as an example of how helpful that was, because now we had some guidance to give to military bases. This is what we'd like to see. So my thanks to the board, because that's huge support to staff to have a document like that, to have our back, if you will, as we work on these issues. So thank you to the board. In your write-up is also Santa's Village that you've had in previous write-ups. So there, we're going to give you continued updates as that progresses. But what I wanted to at least give you the most recent update is that we did ask the developer to install stormwater BMPs to filter the parking lot and develop areas before it reaches the meadow areas. This is all while they're still doing CEQA. So they have a temporary use permit, which is, again, let me say the word temporary, until April. But in the meantime, we had some BMPs. So I just really want to report back that those BMPs are working well. The developer is very responsive to the staff. The interim measures are working well while we work on a more long-term solution. Just want to report good news there. I have a write-up in the report on the latest and greatest on our LAMs. Next month in April, you'll get an even more in-depth update on the LAMP programs. I just want to highlight that, to look forward to that in Barstow. Our state budget. There is an attachment in your packet that is the state board's document to kind of explain the latest January 10 governor's budget. And all I'll say is that in previous 3 years, there's been huge increases of staffing at the state board, a little bit the region board. But in preparation, I think, for funding and recessions, you'll see that this write-up, there's hardly any increases in positions in this budget. So I think the administration is preparing for a potential recession going forward. For us, Lori mentioned, is a limited term position that's turning to permanent. So that's good news for us. We have one person. We unfortunately, as you heard yesterday, had one position taken away. So I guess it's a wash. I also thought I would cover just briefly the federal funding cuts for you, just so you're aware of those. The federal administration has pulled back the waters of the U.S. federal regs, you may have seen in the executive order, and the climate change regulations, mostly affecting coal-fired plants, to pursue new regulations. I just want to remind staff and the board, you know, whenever they do new federal regulation, it does take time. It often takes multiple years. Sometimes there's lawsuits, so it's not going to be an overnight change when that happens. At the same time, our legislature in California is introducing legislation to put backstop legislation in to make sure that the state and local agencies do not adopt ordinances or rules weaker than federal law. Again, that's under consideration by the legislature, so we'll see how that shakes out in this year of change. But let me just highlight some federal budget changes. A lot of my quick and dirty analysis of what the cuts are, it'll affect other states more than California because we have some of our own dollars in California with environmental issues. Other states often do not, and the federal money is the only game in town for them. So it may affect other states more than us, but it does certainly hurt us. So let me just cover some of the big ones. There were big cuts to some of, I guess I call their carve-out programs that they've had for years at US EPA. This is like Chesapeake Bay, San Francisco Bay got zeroed out. What I did not see in those carve-outs was Tahoe did not get touched. And interesting enough, the Everglades did not get touched, but I'm not sure why. That's unfortunate for those big programs that really got a big hit. Big cuts, what I call, those are the almost 100% cuts, the ones I just mentioned. The big cuts are between 69% and 91% is what I call are the U.S. Border Program. The Environmental Justice Programs got a big, huge hit. The Small Business Programs, their Environmental Education, their Climate, their even the Brownfields got hit pretty hard. Beach testing got hit really hard, 100%. So, a lot of big programs got really hit hard on that. Some of the key programs also got hurt, or I call them the block grants. These are the money that the feds give the states for like drinking water, revolving loan, non-point source. You heard Lori mention a few of those. And they got a cut roughly 30 to 31%. And those are wetlands, drinking water, non-point source, and our general water pollution funds. You know, again, this is a proposal before Congress. Congress still has to act on it. We don't know how it's going to sort out. That's why you see the state will prepare for potential cuts. So that's sort of my my summary on what's going on at the federal, and I have a little detailed list. If anyone wants, I could send it around if you'd like to get more detail on where those hits are. I could send that around. And that's all I wanted to report on today. Are there any questions?
Any questions, Ms. Cox?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Dias?
No questions, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sandell?
No, thank you.
Dr. Horn?
No questions, thanks.
Mr. Jardine?
Just one quick question regarding federal lands non-point source permits. I see you're working with Region 5 of the U.S. Forest Service. Are you also working with Region 4, which does come into the Vermont region?
Region 4 of the Forest Service.
Forest Service.
We're working with all the Forest Services and all the BLM districts within our boundaries. So yes.
So that's yes.
All.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have no questions. Thank you very much for the information. With that, we stand adjourned until our meeting in April. Thank you all very, very much. Take care down there.
Lunch would be great.
You remember Silver King Creek?
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is why I'm Bruce Gordon.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Is this for you? Silver King Creek, we were sued twice. This is about a rodent project. Rodent, which is it kills fish, it's a piscicide.
Anytime. We don't want them because they're...
Yeah, they're... Yeah, we want, or not we, but the Department of Fish and Wildlife wanted to reintroduce the trout to their native habitat. But you've got to wipe out all the critters first. So that was highly controversial. We led the project 7 years. Board meetings on that were kind of raucous.
I bet.
Bring your popcorn and wine. Yes, I am involved now in a new project, which is probably going to be much more controversial.
Yeah.
I have a proposal to our prohibition against using pesticides in waters from the Tonki Property Owners Association, just down the road. They want to kill a bunch of aquatic weeds in their lagoons. I fully anticipate that you're going to get very involved in this because I'll be asking you a lot of questions.
I think I got an email from Mary.
Mary, yes.
Great support. That's me. A couple of days ago, I had a chance to really jump in.
Yeah, Mary, I invited to our last stakeholder meeting, actually our last couple of stakeholder meetings, and she's involved in some aspects of that. She's kind of the main point person on the follow-up on the permit in 2014 that started the whole process, required Tahoe Keys to write an integrated management plan for weeds, which they included herbicides, which this permit didn't allow, so they had to put it in an appendix, and that like, was an attachment part of the plan. But now in a separate process, they've applied for an NPDES permit for the State General Aquatic Pesticide.
Right, yeah.
Provided APAP, a bunch of other stuff, and then the the application, I have commented probably 8 or 9 pages of comments on their application, counted as incomplete for a variety of reasons. Also, Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, which were kind of joined at the hip with them in terms of the environmental process, they counted it incomplete. So we're not alone in this, but there are a lot of technical issues. It's complex. And then
so, and you're going to be studying this summer?
A lot of public perception issues. There's political sensitivities. It's just one of those projects like that. So it's going to be probably legally challenged at some point. The one, Silver King Creek, that's the county to the south.
Right?
That's the smallest population in California.
So
you would think no one would care about it. People cared about it. And here we are in Lake Tahoe, which is central for political involvement.
Pesticides,
herbicides, pesticides, whatever side, it's going to generate a lot of interest.
And you get more familiar with your basin plan, your prohibition.
I can't tell you how many times I've read through that basin plan prohibition.
On the pesticides?
Before I could finally get a hold of what it was actually saying and how it was supposed to implement it. It's not an easy document to read through.
So always ask first, what do you want it to say? And then go from there.
Can you make the language clear, please?
What do you want it to say? And can we interpret it that way?
Yeah, most of my comments were related to consistency with our basin plan. Here's the very easy for God.
Can you go home after you pack up and go to sleep? I'll finish the day out.
Yeah,
that's nice. See how you feel.
I have to pack and return the sound system to the Tahoe Conservancy.
Sure, you need help.
Yeah, I have a Jim Carolyn and Bryce. I'm going to take pictures of the setup and start pulling that back. And I made notes of, again, things that could be improved. For example, I think I need to have my own pointer for the
pointer. That should person needs a pointer.
Yeah, and there was one in here. No one can find it. There should also be a laser pointer. No one can find it. So I would personally like to have one under my kind of thumb that I could take to Barstow or, you know.
Or 3 of them. Yeah. One that's stationary, that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the bathroom key, right? You put a big fat thing on
it. Yeah, because the problem is they're that big. Sound system. I like the mics. I replaced Pete's today. So I have to find out more about sensitivity and things like that.
It's also, if we have it here, how does Kimberly, could we have used Rebecca's mic and her portable?
I
don't know how that works.
Another thing
for your assessment, if you have two separate systems, how do they talk to each other?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yep. And
the question is, when's that spare time?
Because all she's got, all they have is the bat phone, which is not the same as
And the other thing too is I have to do some research with Polycom.
And if you send them, you said there's
because right now there's only 2 external mics, and it sure would be nice.
I'm suggesting something better than a Polycom.
Your
system can speak to that system that Rebecca's got down there. Because she's got one of these too. Whatever brand it is.
Hers doesn't have individual mics, but they don't really need it. But you're right, I'm going to...
That's something you could ask the company, say, so here's my dilemma. I got 2 offices. How do they talk to each other?
Yeah, I can send you the WDR, the application. Anything else you want, you can
Where do you want to go?
I think maybe you should start... preparing for today.
In the next year?
They're supposed to implement this May of 2018.
Okay.
So that means they got to go before the board sometime before then. They also still have to do that.
I'm usually there for like hors d'oeuvres. I didn't actually have lunch. But if they have lunch, hot, you can go.